So today we're going to talk about sending push notifications to both Windows 8 and Windows Phone 7 devices using Windows Azure. So did anyone here come to my session yesterday? Right, so the WinPhone portion of this is going to be about 7 minutes of the content which you've seen before, but the whole entire rest of the deck will all be Win 8 focused. The WinPhone 7 stuff happens at the end, so we'll do Win 8 first. So today we're going to review live tiles for Windows 8. We're going to have a deep dive on using the Windows Push Notification Service. So that's in actual fact a different service to the Microsoft Push Notification Service that's used for WinPhone 7. The Windows Push Notification Service is a service dedicated to sending live tiles and toast notifications to Windows 8 devices. I'm going to introduce you to the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8 and the small piece for those that were here for the other session that's repeated in the WinPhone 7 portion is just a demonstration of the NuGets for WinPhone 7. You'll leave with examples of how to go and build out your push notification enabled application in Windows 8 and WinPhone 7, and you'll learn how to build a push service that can be hosted in Windows Azure for these two devices. So, to start, let's have a look at the new start screen that we've got in Windows 8. So, who here is currently running Windows 8? Has anyone downloaded the developer preview bits that are publicly available and sort of put them on? Okay, so I think there was one guy here. A couple guys. Right, so this is the new start screen that comes with Windows 8. It's sort of it's a place where you go to see what matters to you. These are all applications. So you can see that some of the application icons are alive. They're popping and peaking, and they've got updated content. But you can also see over on the right here that some of the tiles are static, and they're not doing anything. Now, if any of you have watched the sort of build conference or the online recordings, a man called Jensen from Microsoft sort of talked in his big picture talk about this particular screen. And he said, in reference to static icons, he said, icons are great, but they're sort of yesterday's way of representing an application. And instead, in Windows 8, we're going to use live tiles to make your applications shine. So as developers building out applications for this new OS, we need to start considering how are we going to go and make our application the visible one that people are going to want to go and use. So if you just look just at the difference between having something that's static versus something that's moving and up to date with the latest information, for instance, the weather tile here for Brussels, or the stock pricing there, you can see that the live tiles are going to draw users back into your application. So that's really the goal, is if you utilize push notifications to light up this screen, chances are your user's going to see that, and given that the content that's coming down is relevant to them, it's going to draw them back into your application. And that's really what you want as an application developer. So how we do this is using we use push notifications to light up these tiles or to send toast messages. So push notifications, let's have a little recap of what we can actually do with them. So a push notification can alter the content that you see on the screen. This is a static screen. This isn't my real desktop. But we've got square tiles, and square tiles can contain images, and you can actually change which images are being presented on them. We've also got wide tiles, and wide tiles have a very rich array of different templating options that you can use to drive your content down. So if you look at the one up the top, the one at the top's got both image and text. And if we look at the one down on the right here, the investments, that's just a pure text one. And as you've seen when we're on the start screen, we also had tiles that were peaking up and down with both images and text. Now, all in all, there's over just around 40 different template types between both tiles, badges, which you see here, which is a little badge which you can control. You can give it a number that's like 1 to 99, or you could use a glyph, which is a predefined image, say, for instance, a new mail icon or a playing icon or a paused icon. And we can also send toast messages. So as I said, there's over 40 different template types. It gives you very rich support for going out and determining, you know, how you want that information represented in your application. If you go out and you intend on using toast notifications, the guidance that we give there is to ensure that you use them wisely. A toast notification, in contrast to a tile or a badge, is interruptive to the user. And what I mean by that is if you're out, not on the start screen here, but perhaps in a desktop application, that toast message is still going to surface up to the user. So similar to Windows Phone, it's going to sort of come to the foreground, and it's interruptive. So you use them for critical things that the user would really want to know about. You don't want your application to be, you know, the annoying application that's sending me too many toast messages. So use them wisely, and consider your users when you're doing that. Tiles, on the other hand, they're only sort of visible and shown when you're on the start screen. You're obviously not going to see a tile while you're in editing a Word document. So to control all of these and to send these notifications down, be it a tile, a toast, or a badge, we use the Windows Push Notification Service. Now, you'll hear me during this session refer to WNS. And WNS is the acronym. They've dropped the P. Not too sure why, but that's okay. So when I say WNS, I'm referring to the Windows Push Notification Service. Now, this is a free service that's available to you as application developers. You don't need to pay anything to use this. It's just the same as the MPNS for Windows Phone 7 in that respect. So it's a service that's there, and you use it to send notifications to users of your applications, and it's free. So what we'll do is we'll sort of start out here, and we'll have a look at the notification life cycle as it applies to the Windows Notification Service. And we'll start out just doing very high level, just so you can see the discrete blocks and interactions that occur, but then we'll drill down into each of these steps that occur during this life cycle, and we'll look at sort of the code that's used or the sort of HTTP requests at that level that you're going to have to use to interact, say, with the Windows Push Notification Service. Following that, we'll sort of drill back up and then start looking at the toolkit and some of the things we put in place there to make it a bit faster for you to develop against this. So the first step when you're building an application is you need to request a channel. Now, I should probably point out that these items in green, these are things down the bottom of the screen that are already programmed for you, and they're provided by Microsoft. The portions that you have to write as a developer are the portions in blue at the top. So you need to write a Metro-style application, and you need to write a cloud service of some description. Now, over here on the left, we've got the Windows 8 actual platform. And your Metro application can communicate with this notification client platform using the WinRT APIs. And I'll show you an example of that shortly. But the first step we do is we request a channel URI. And a channel URI is a way to uniquely identify a tile on your start screen. So you call into the WinRT API to get that, and it will return a channel URI to your application. Once your application has that, we then need to push that channel URI into our cloud-based service. And our cloud-based service will store that until a point in time that it needs to send a notification. So following that, we then need to authenticate against WNS, and we need to push a notification to WNS. WNS will then take care of delivering that notification to your client application, and it will deal with surfacing that notification up as a toast, if you've requested a toast, a tile, or a badge. So you really don't need to know about the complexity of how, you know, these images are rendered on, say, the start screen. That's all taken care of for you. All you really need to do is to know how to interact with the WinRT API, how to store or register your channel URI with your service, and how to call into the Windows Push Notification Service to send notification. And we'll drill into each of these. So let's start with step one. So step one is to request a channel URI. And as I briefly mentioned before, every tile on your start screen has a channel URI. So in the case of the weather application, there was three tiles on my start screen. That's three channel URIs. So each one of them is directly addressable. Some applications don't require multiple tiles. So that an application like the pictograph application that was on the start screen, that only has one channel. Now, to once you get this channel, you need to sort of know that channels do expire. And the guidance that we provide there is every time your application is launched, request that channel from the WinRT APIs and then provide that back up to your cloud service. Behind the scenes, the channels actually, when we call down into here, the notification client platform actually retrieves that channel from WNS. So that deals with that sort of communications for you. And the last thing to note about requesting a channel is the actual channel you get is opaque to the application. And what we mean by that is your application doesn't really need to know what it's all about, apart from, hey, this is just uniquely identifying my tile, and I need to give it to my service so it can address this application. So let's have a look at how you'd go and request a channel URI. So this is JavaScript, but you can also do this in a C-sharp XAML application if you wanted to. So the first thing that we're doing here is I've sort of had to break it up a bit because the namespaces are quite long. But the key point to note is this push notification channel manager. Now, the operation which we need to call into WinRT to return that channel URI is create push notification channel for application async. Right? So it's quite a descriptive method name, and I think if you're developing, you'll probably be able to identify which one you need to use without having to refer back to the slides. But so we need to call that to retrieve a channel. And this is async, so we do need to wire up a function that's executed as a callback here once that channel returns. And you can see here that once this returns, this call, we have the channel, and I've just sort of extracted out here to show you the two pieces that come back with the channel. You've got the channel URI, which uniquely identifies that tile, but we also do have that expiration time. So as I said, take note that channels do expire, and the guidelines that we give is to every time you start your application, make sure that you call this and have this whole piece of code executed to update your channel. Now, the last piece here leads into step two. So this is the request step, request channel. Step two is actually register that channel with your cloud-based service. And we're doing that here in this update channel URI method. So just to show you what a channel looks like, this is what a channel looks like, and that's what would have been returned from that call into our function in the CH parameter here. And as I said, it's opaque to your application. It just needs to treat it as a string that identifies that tile. So let's look at the registration with your cloud service. So you take that channel and you need to register it with your cloud service. We do sort of suggest that you make sure that that call into your service is authenticated. Your actual registration service that sits over here, the public endpoint, could be implemented with whatever means you want. It could be like a WCF service, a WCF REST service, or whatever you'd like to use, really. What you should do is you should push up your channel URI with any app-specific data or metadata relating to that channel. So if we're talking about the weather app, if I refer back to that, I had Brussels pinned as a tile. So when I send that channel URI up to my cloud-based service, the metadata I'd be sending with that is that it's for Brussels. I also had Redmond pinned, so that channel URI I'd also be sending up with Redmond associated with that. And that then gives us the app-specific metadata that we need to be able to send out notifications later that are related to that particular tile. So then all you really need to do is once you've received that channel and any metadata associated with that is to store it in whatever method you choose to persist that data. So in Windows Azure, we've got table storage, or you could store it in SQL Azure if you want. And we'll look at that a bit later on. So let's look at the step three. So we've done request. Now we've done register as well. And we'll sort of dig in on the register portion a little bit, I think. So this is the method which we led into in the end of step one after we had the channel. And we pushed in the channel and the expiration. Now, again, this is JavaScript, so it's running in the Metro-style application. And what we're doing is we're just pushing this up to a WCF REST service. And in our payload, we're just pushing up, in this case, only the channel expiration and channel URI. Now, the reason that I've sort of chopped out any sort of metadata here, but you just tag on anything else you want to send, such as the city if we're talking about the weather app. I just didn't really have enough space here. But the key point to note is that you do have a payload. You've got a public facing endpoint to push that payload, being your channel, to. And then we just use the XHR, which is another WinRT API, which just essentially does a HTTP web request up to your service. So we're going to post that up, and we've chosen a serialization type of JSON here. Reason being is we want to ensure that when we're posting data up to the service, that we're using something that's sort of nice and tight as far as how heavy it's going to be in terms of using bandwidth. If we're using XML to post this data up, well then, you know, that's got additional cost as far as bandwidth's concerned in our service implementation. So that's the register step. So the next thing we need to do is we've got that and we've gone and stored that channel up in our cloud-based service. But at some point in time, we're going to want to go out and send a notification to that particular tile, for instance, to update the content. So in the weather application, we may be changing the weather in Brussels. It may be snowing. So our cloud service has determined that it's going to snow tomorrow, and we want to send out that update to the forecast. So it's a two-step process. The first step of the process is we need to authenticate against WNS using OAuth2. And I'll show you where you can get the credentials for that shortly. The authentication process is just a HTTP post, and we'll look at that in a minute. Once we actually authenticate, we get a token back, and then we utilize that token to post to the channel URI that we're trying to address. And the actual payload of that HTTP request is XML. So recall how we talked about there was over 40 different template types which you can use to deliver that notification and have it presented in the way you want. They're actually represented in XML. So we'll see an example of that in a minute. So once we post that notification, as we discussed in the high-level overview, just then goes off and pushes out to the notification client platform, and that will deal with surfacing the notification to the client app. So let's talk about the OAuth step of the of communicating with WNS. So what we need to do there is we need to go out to manage.dev.live.com/build. We need to sign in, and what you'll get is this. So the first piece of information that we put in is the package display name. This is just an identifier which you can use later when you come back to look at the list of all your applications that are available. And then you need to push in the publisher name. Now this needs to match what's in your client application, and I'll show you that in a bit more depth when we get up to the demo. Once you submit these two pieces of information, we hit I accept, and then it will take us off and it'll give us our credentials that we require for the auth. So the first piece of the puzzle that we get is we get this package name. Now that package name needs to be put into your app manifest on your client application. And that's essentially a set of keys that are all paired. The next two are actually for your service. So these are the two that your service uses to authenticate against WNS to get a token to be able to push a notification. Now, what this means is that if you have a service that's using these two key sets to send a notification, then you can only address tiles that are in an application that has this package name. So this stops people from perhaps taking your channel URI and trying to push information into your application. So it's there as a preventative measure to sort of make it difficult for people to try and hijack your channels. So let's look at what the authentication step looks like. So the first piece of it here is we need to do a post to login.live.com/access token. the content type needs to be URL encoded, so ensure that URL encode the payload. Otherwise, you may have issues getting your token back from WNS. The next step within here is to go and inject that the client ID and package SID into your payload from the portal. So you can see that the first line here is the client ID that we had in the portal in the prior screenshot, and the second ID here in blue is the package SID from the portal, otherwise known as the client secret. So once we do that, WNS will return a 200 OK. And that 200 OK, that 200 OK will come back, and within the body we'll have this access token. And this is our access token, which we need to use in the headers for every subsequent request posting a notification to WNS. So if we then wanted to actually push a notification, now we've got this token, and we need to go and form a notification payload to send to a particular channel. So the first step of the request that we're sending to WNS now is that we address the channel. So we're posting to that specific channel which we got back way back in step one when we requested the channel URL from the WinRT APIs on the client. We then need to specify that the content type is text and XML. And then we need to specify the type of notification we're sending. So it could be WNS badge, as it is in this case. It could be WNS toast, or it could be WNS tile. We sit the actual authorization token in there, as you've just seen. And that then means that we're authenticated against WNS, and we can post to it. Now, these tokens do expire, so your implementation of that does need to handle that sort of boundary case. If it does expire, you just need to re-authenticate again and get a new token back. We recommend that you cache the token. You don't need to do the auth step every single time. So once you get it, cache it, use it till it expires. You'll get an exception back when it expires, and then you just request again. The last thing that we put into this is the actual notification payload. So I've chosen badge here because badge is the simplest sort of notification payload to compose. So you can see that it's just standard XML, and we've specified a badge with the value. So this should have a badge pop up on the actual tile, and if we were sending it to this particular tile, then we'd just get a 34 pop up there like that. But the whole process is the same for your toast and tiles. It's just a different payload that you're generating. Now, once you send that notification to WNS, WNS is going to return back with the 200 OK. Now, the thing to note is that 200 OK from WNS does not actually mean that the notification was delivered to the client application. It means WNS has received it, and it's going to try and send that notification to the client. The reason that the 200 OK means that is perhaps the client is offline, it's not connected or whatnot, so it can't be delivered. But you, as an application developer, want to know that, hey, at least it's made the next step. You can specify headers to say that you want that notification cached in WNS until it can be delivered. Obviously, cache will be purged after some point in time because, hey, maybe your device has been broken and it's never going to come online again, for instance. There's some additional headers that come back in this response as well. So these two are sort of useful if you're doing any sort of diagnostics and you want to report something to Microsoft. You can also request for status. So when you post to WNS that notification payload, you can set an additional header that will give you device status, such as devices offline. So if you're implementing a solution and you want to make it sort of smart, you can request for these additional headers and you can have your code react to these and then be able to sort of maybe do an exponential back off on trying to send notifications to that particular device until you have a status where it is online again. So that was pretty much, I guess, the low level of how you go and deal with sending notifications via WNS. Now, for some people, they may not really want to go and work at that level. So we realize this. So pretty much, the reason that we show you, I guess, the low level is not every developer is a .NET developer, but every developer knows what a HTTP web request is. They know how to post some information. So that means you can take what you've just learned and then go out and develop, say, a PHP application or a C# application or a JavaScript app up in the cloud that's going to be able to post notifications. But we also sort of found that some people want to actually go and just use a managed API that's a bit sort of more abstract on top of that, so you don't have to deal with your requests. So I built this Windows push notification recipe, and it's exactly that. It's just a managed API that allows you to go out and do all these steps, but in fewer lines of code. So if we wanted to look at the authentication piece against WNS, it's just as simple as pulling in that package, and we just reference a namespace. And then to do the auth step, we just new up a new WNS access token provider. And again, we just pass in these credentials from the portal. The next step is, let's try and send an actual notification with this recipe. So you can see that rather than sort of going and figuring out how to generate that XML payload, that I've sort of abstracted that into an object model here, that will deal with the XML serialization under the hood. So this toast notification takes in the instance of the token provider we just passed through before. So that will then deal with the authentication and caching of that token later on. So the next thing that we need for our particular toast message in this case we're sending is the channel URL that originated at the client that we're trying to post to. So we set that, and then we set the actual toast type. So this indicates the template. So for toast, I think there was 12, don't quote me on that, but there was about 12 different template types you could use, and we've just sort of converted that into a nice little enum there, so it's easy to go and set what you want, and that will deal with the template generation, as I said, under the hood. For toast type image in text 02, that actually requires one image. So your images, you can just direct them out to some public-facing image on the web. And as I said before, when the message is received, the notification platform deals with pulling that down and then surfacing it. And then this particular template, being toast image in text 2, takes an image and two lines of text. So in this case, we just pass in a string with two lines of text, and that's pretty much it. To send it, we just call toast.send, and that's it. Under the hood, I'll generate the payload for you for that particular template type and any other template type that you want to use. And it's as simple as that then to do the auth piece and then post the notification. You'll get something like this for this particular message down the bottom right-hand side here. So simplifies the process and reduces your development cost. So we'll get into a demo shortly, but just to summarize, the three key steps that we've seen was request a channel using WinRT, register that channel with your cloud service, push that notification to your WNS service after authenticating, and then that will be delivered to your client application and surfaced. So before we jump into the demo, let's just... We sort of glossed over the actual cloud-based implementation of how we go out and build that service. We've seen how we injected the channel into it, but we didn't talk about what we can use to store that information. So all of what you're seeing here is sort of, and the WNS recipe, which we just talked about, the story behind it is prior to build, we actually had a whole bunch of summer interns come into Microsoft, and their task was to sit there, and they had 12 weeks to build an application. And some of those applications that you see on the developer preview bits today are applications that were developed by interns. So the news app and the weather app, these were developed by teams of about 3 interns each and over the course of 12 weeks. So they've skilled up on an entirely new platform. They've skilled up on the WinRT APIs. They skilled up on utilizing Windows Azure, and they were able to sort of build out the applications, the logic for the apps, and add notification support. And in working with these interns, what we found is that for the push notification scenario, there's a very common set of requirements. And it's something that if you want to add push notification support to your applications, that you're going to have to do too. So we built out a toolkit for this. So if we looked at what some of those common requirements were for the cloud service, we just needed a secure web-based API for the channel registration. We needed persistent storage for the channel URI, and we needed somewhere to store that was sort of publicly addressable on the net, the tile and toast images that are used in the notifications. So with Windows Azure, you can do that in many ways. The way which we chose for the toolkit is we chose to use Windows Azure Compute and Windows Azure Storage. In the Compute section, Windows Azure actually has two offerings, which Scott talked about briefly in his keynote. The first one was a web role, and a web role is essentially a server up in the cloud that has full IIS support, and you just build your application and publish to it. So on our web role for the channel registration, we utilized a WCF REST-based service, and we also, on top of that, we put in an ASP.NET MVC website that allows you to go out and build a notification that you can push to your device. So the website portion of what you're about to see is actually more of something for you to familiarize yourself with what types of notifications you can send before going out and implementing, you know, your own business logic that's going to do that automatically without having a user drive the notifications at a website. For the persistent channel of the storage, we utilize the storage of the persistent channel URI. Sorry, I'm a bit mixed up here. It's about 3 a.m. back in Redmond. But to store the channel, we use table storage. So table storage, as Scott mentioned, it is a massively scalable way of storing structured data. The data is not relational in any way. It's similar to NoSQL, if you want to compare it to that. So we use table storage for that. For the tile and toast images, we utilize blob storage. Now, blob storage is essentially a place to dump binary data up there in your storage account. By default, a Windows Azure storage account has a 100 terabyte cap on it. You can get more if you're building applications that are going to use it, but in most cases, I don't think, you know, that many apps, unless you're sort of building, you know, Facebook style or Flickr type applications, I don't think you're going to use more than 100 terabyte. But blob storage is where you put this binary data. It could be images, it could be videos if you're building a media application, or it could be, say, you know, your Word documents, XML, text, whatever. But anyhow, for the tile and toast images, we chose to use blob storage. So let's cut across and actually do a demo of the toolkit so you can see how you can go out and start building these applications. So I'll just cut across here. And my machine has gone to sleep because I've got no power. So do we have any questions while I just boot this up? Any questions so far? Okay. So when you are, what we're about to see is the toolkit which I built out for the interns, and this helps them accelerate their development of an application that uses notifications. I'm just going to connect up to Wi-Fi here. That seems to have dropped out as well. Room 6. And if you're thinking of going out and building an application, then it's probably a good idea for you to consider using this. This is going to save you maybe sort of 2 to 3 weeks of development effort just by pulling in these common pieces. So you can download it from watwindows8.codeplex.com. It's easy to download. Just download and install it. And what you get out of that install is you'll get it installed into the Windows Azure base folder here under Watt Windows. Now, within there, you've got a whole bunch of different sample applications. Now, these sample applications are already live working demos. Now, we've got one there that just shows how to use the access control service if you want to authenticate a user within a Windows 8 application. We've got a PN worker implementation here, which shows you more of a sort of enterprise-style implementation of push notifications. We've also got a couple notification ones here as well. But the main thing which this toolkit does is it enables you to develop using VS 2010 to deliver these Windows Azure app cloud-based services. So one thing you need to note at the moment is while you may pull down the Win8 developer preview with tools, that's going to include Dev11, which allows you to develop the Metro-style applications. What's missing is Windows Azure tooling is not yet in Dev11. So to build your Windows Azure components, you're going to need to use Dev10, and the toolkit will provide a full dependency checklist for you to go and get the bits that you require to do that. And end of the day, what you get is that little icon on the desktop, and you can launch VS 2010. So wherever you see, I guess, administrator up here, that's going to be our server-side portion of the solution. And wherever you see Dev11, which I'll launch now, is going to be the client-side solution. So let's get started. One of the things that I have built into the toolkit is the ability to add a VizX template to your Visual Studio solution. Now, what a VizX template essentially means to a developer is it gives you a file new project experience to help build out this application for you. So these are all the common ones which you would see in an application, in a Metro-style app. And you'll see that the template exists under both C-sharp XAML and JavaScript, because we realize that, hey, developers may want to use C-sharp, they may want to use JavaScript, so let's make sure that the template supports both. So I'll do a JavaScript-based application. So let's create the client app. Now, what we do here is we show a wizard, and this wizard is going to capture the details required for the client application configuration. And if you recall, when we went through the workflow at step 3 where we're authenticating against WNS, we needed to go to the portal to get a package name for our client application. So let me just do this here. I got dual screens here, so I'll pull it across. Right. So we've gone to manage.dev.live.com/build. If you have any questions, you can grab me on that email, nikha@microsoft.com. And I'll just log in here. My password is password if anyone needs it. It's just joking. All right. So here we go. So now we're in the portal, and this is where we need to go and provide those credentials which we seen in the screenshot earlier. Package display name and publisher. So let's grab my Dev11 here. So what I've done, because I'm a lazy developer, and I figure you guys may be as well, is I've just added a sort of copy thing here which will copy that detail that you need to put in into your clipboard. So if you copy by pressing on the links, it'll give you the right values that you need. Now, if you're building this from scratch without the wizard here, you'll actually need to pull this publisher ID from your WM app manifest, or your package app manifest, sorry. Now, once that's in there, we just hit I accept. That's going to take us to the portal here, and we just copy the package name and place that in there. So that's the first bit that the client requires. We hit next, and in this case, we're not going to look at ACS. We're just going to do a pure notification scenario. So by default, the tooling that we're going to use here, it's going to create a registration endpoint on localhost slash endpoints. And recall how we talked about perhaps sending up some form of metadata, be it a city or whatnot. I've just provided some sort of sample bit here, how you can send an application ID and a device ID. But the code that's generated, you can go and update to add in whatever fields that you want to push up to your service. So that's going to go off and generate our client application. And as you can see here, it's just going off and generating it, and that's done. Now, let's have a look at what it did with that information. It went out, and it configured a few things for us. So if you were building this from scratch with a file new blank application as Metro app, you'd have to come in and you'd need to specify a wide tile logo. Now, a wide tile logo will allow you to have a wide tile pinned on your start screen. It will also allow you to push notifications to that. If we come down further, we needed to specify that it's toast capable. So this means we can send a toast notification. And the other thing that we needed to do is, so we can connect out to the internet, so we need to enable networking, essentially. Last thing is, and this is a very key piece, is that package name from the wizard was injected in here. So let's work on the server now. We've switched over to VS 2010, and under cloud, it's installed a template here as well. Going to hit OK. It's prompting, do I want to use a real storage account in Windows Azure or just the storage emulator? I hit OK on that. And now we need the other two pieces of the authentication piece. So let me switch back to that. So let's copy in the client secret. Sorry, there we go. Now, if you're doing this manually by hand, you need to make sure that you don't have white space in the end. But again, the lazy developer syndrome, I trim that for you out of the wizard, so you don't need to worry. So now this is going to go and generate our server-based solution. It's going to have that endpoint for us to push the channel URI to, and it's also going to have an MVC-based view that allows you to generate a notification and send it to your client application, which we've just generated as well. You can see down in the bottom left that we're actually composing this application using NuGets. So we won't dig too far into the NuGets, but this one here at the moment, the Windows Azure.notifications, is the same NuGet package which we use for Windows Phone 7. And that's just the portion that provides a channel registration endpoint. The other key important NuGet that it's pulled in is the WNS recipe. So here's the WNS recipe. And you can see if we look at it here in the Class Explorer, we've got a toast notification, a tile notification, and a badge notification, which we can new up, set the properties, then call send. We've also got the WNS access token provider, which we've seen in the deck earlier. Because we got a bit of a late start, let's spin these guys up and see what we can do with them. So I just hit F5 on the server-side component of the application because we need those the channel URI endpoint where we're going to send the channels to be there and available for our client to push up. So once that spins up, we'll spin up the client, then we'll go through the three steps, one being request a channel from WNS, two being register that with your cloud service, and three being send a notification. So that's our server package up and running. Let's run the client. So the client's going to spin up here. I've just got a simple UI, and I'll leave it as an exercise for home. Let me switch the screens over for you. What you need to do is probably step through it in the debugger. We don't have time today, but you should step through and see that we are calling that push notification channel manager. We're calling that async method to get a channel, and then we're doing the XHR to post up that channel to our server. So that's the channel which we just received back from WNS and posted up to our service. So let's switch back over to our service here now. And if I hit log on, we can go in and we can see that channel URI. Now, the password for these is all in the documentation on the windows8.codeplex.com. And we can send a push notification here now. So you can see that there's several channels here that have been registered and stored in my storage emulator. So these are for some other apps which I was playing with. But the one which we want to send it to today is this one, and that's that metadata which we put in the wizard and push that up and associate it with the channel. The other thing to call out there is, apart from the channel, is you can see that there is an expiry there. So this particular channel is going to expire tomorrow. So again, as we said, when the user launches the application, make sure... Sorry, not tomorrow, that's 30 days away. So that's, yeah, so channel will expire in 30 days, but again, when your application launches, just request a new channel and push it up into your storage account. So here's the UI that I've built out so you can come and familiarize yourself with notifications. The first one here allows you to select notification type, and the second one here allows you to select the template. So you can see for toast, there's a wide range of toasts we can send. So let's start with a toast small image and text. And these are some images that I loaded up into my storage account earlier on. And we'll say, polo shirt. So we'll send this. And we should see a notification pop up on my other screen here. So that's Scott sending a toast notification. So that's our toast. So let's jump back and send perhaps a tile. So tile notifications have many different template types as well. So if we come down and we say perhaps let's send a tile-wide pick image collection 01. You can see quite a few there, right? So each one of these have a different XML payload, and using the WNS recipe, you don't really need to worry about that payload. You just need to set properties. So if I want to send this peak image here, we can say let's put a few people's faces on it. This one's a sort of cool template. It's one of my favorite ones, but it's sort of, I think it'd be cool for sort of Facebook-style applications. And we'll set that last one, and we'll go... and we'll go and send that. So let's cut back over to here, and we'll scroll across, and there we go. So we've seen the tile, it's come across, and it's pushed that in. Now this was a tile-wide peak image collection 01, which means that it will peak up and show some text underneath it. Again, as I mentioned, there's plenty of different template types. You can see some of them here on the start screen, and this tool will allow you to go out and explore them and find the one that's right for your application. So the last one we'll show you is perhaps the badge notifications. So let's just send a badge so you can see that. So we've seen in the deck we did an integer-based badge. We sent 32 down, I think. As far as badges are concerned, you can only send a number 1 through 99. And it's probably a good thing to say, you know, you've got not up to 99 things waiting or something like that. But glyphs provide a means to sort of push down one of these image-based badges. So if we send down the mail and just flip back again to our tile, we should see it here eventually. It should slide in. I'm just going to pop it there. Oh, you can't really see it there. It's sort of, I don't know if, there it is. So it took a little while to render, but there it is. It's probably because I'm in project mode. Okay, so that's a badge. And as you can see, we've got tiles, toasts, and badges, and a very rich templating means by which we can sort of change how they look and feel. And the ultimate goal is send down relevant and up-to-date content to the users so they eventually come on, click on your application, and there you go, they're back in your app. So let's cut back to the deck. We've got a little bit of time left here, so let's look at push notifications with Windows Phone 7. So this small piece is going to be familiar for the people that were in my session yesterday. But notifications, if you're building out a notification service, you should really consider that your application can span multiple devices. It doesn't just have to be a Windows 8 application. You may be building your app for Windows 8, Windows Phone 7, Android, iOS. So my guidance to you is to make the most use of your cloud-based service. You want to be able to have that to go and service all these applications such that you don't need a separate instance for each one that's out there and you know more development effort, more cost to you. You don't want that. So you try and consolidate these things. And some of the things that we're going to show here are actually used by both the Windows 8 tooling, which I just showed you then, and also the Windows Phone 7 tooling, which I'm just about to show you. So there's reuse there as well. But the first type of notification that you can get on WinPhone 7 is a toast notification. And it's got three key things which you can control. You've got a title, being that little bit in the left. You've got content. And you've also got a parameter. The parameter is actually a target. So what's special about this is if you specify a target in your toast notification, What that means is it's going to give you parameters that you can have injected back into the application. So if the user clicks on this toast, that parameter is injected into your application, and that can be like a command that tells your application to do something. So that's quite a useful feature. So we've also got tiles in Windows Phone 7, and with the tile notification, you can control two things, the front and the back of the tile. On the front of the tile, you can control the count. You can also control the image that's displayed on the background, and you can also control the title. Now, one thing that some people don't really know is that if you use a PNG with transparency for your tile, it's actually going to pick up on the colouring of your application. So you can sort of do some cool sorts of things with that just using transparencies. So one which I've seen is that was pretty cool was a little sort of, it was a cocktail application, and the glass sort of would keep increasing in terms of whether it's filled or not based on that transparency. So they had the glass and it was transparent, and it would look like it's filling up with the colour of the tile background. As they sent tiles, it would get sort of higher or lower. So we've also got a back tile for Windows Phone, and again, it's quite similar to the front tile. You've got back content, a background, and a title, and they will flip for you so you can see front and back. The last thing that we've got is a WinPhone 7 RAW notification. Now, RAW notifications can be sent and only received by your WinPhone app when it's in the foreground, which means it needs to be running to receive that. And I guess, contrary to popular belief, it's got nothing to do with tigers, so it's not RAW. And it's a good way for you to push data to your application and have your application react. If your app isn't running, the Microsoft Push Notification Service, so MPNS in this case is the one used for WinPhone 7, will discard the message. And the key thing to watch out for with RAW notifications is there's a max payload size for what you're sending down. So from recall, I think the header can be up to 1 KB, and the payload is a max of 3 KB. So if you have a lot of data to send, you're going to have to chunk that into multiple bits and recompose it on the client. Or you can send a message to the client that's very short that says there's new data, and then your application will go and react to that programmatically and pull down the larger than 3 KB payload from a web service or something like that. So let's do a quick demo. Let's do the Microsoft Push Notification Service with Windows Azure. And we're going to do that in VS 2010. So we'll kick this off. And we'll start with a new project. So we're going to start with a new phone-based application. Now, like the Win8 ones, if you want to go and do this using a wizard, you can use the wizard template that installs with the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows Phone. But what I want to show you here, and likewise, you can do what I'm just about to do now, you can do that with the Windows 8 one. You can actually use the building blocks which were used to compose that file new project experience to build them yourself. Now, the reason that we've done this, what we've done is we've broken these file new project experiences up into multiple NuGet packages. And for you as a developer, what that means is if you look at the Windows 8 demo I just did then, it's generating a lot of code, but you may not need all of that code. You may just want certain pieces of it. So by using NuGet, you can compose your applications and you can pull down the pieces of the solution that are only relevant to you, and you're not going to have any unnecessary bloat that the wizard may be injecting into your app. So the first thing that we're going to do is install a package on the client, and it's called phone.notifications base page. Now, what this is going to do is it's going to pull in a base page for the Windows Phone app that allows you to enable notifications. Now, like WNS, when you enable notifications, we're going to request a channel, this time from MPNS, and then we're going to register that with our service. So the one thing we need to do here is we've just had this notifications page pulled into our application. You can see that there's a little checkbox here. What we need to do is we need to wire that in. So to do that, we come over to the WM app manifest, come over and we say we want our application to launch on pages notifications page. So that's it for the client app. Now that's going to deal with requesting the channel and registering it with our service. So now we need to build out that service. And I'm just going to start with a blank Windows Azure project here. Put an MVC3 web role in. I'll just use a blank one there. Now, I'll change the NuGet package console here to target the MVC web role. And I'm going to install the package for the registration endpoint. So this is step two, the register your channel with a registration endpoint in your cloud-based service. So the key thing I'd like to call out here to app developers is this Windows Azure Notifications registration endpoint. It is the same that was used for our Windows app demo just before. So what this means is if you're building an application that's targeting both Win8 and WinPhone, you can use the same instance of this particular package there to register your channels to. You don't need to deploy two of them. You don't need to write unique code for both. It's all being done for you in this NuGet package. So the next thing that we need to do, so we've got something where we can register our channel now. We now need to be able to push notifications via MPNS. So if I install the last package here, it's windowsphone.notifications.management.uisample. And this is going to pull in just an MVC UI similar to what we had for our Windows 8 template to send these notifications to Windows Phone. All right, so it's just pulling it down now. And in all of these NuGet packages, we have detailed instructions on how you can go and configure them to utilize, say, a real cloud storage account rather than the emulator and such. So now with that done, we're ready to go out and launch our application and send some notifications to it. So that's going to fire up the emulator here, and it's also going to fire out our MVC website, which has both the UI to send a notification, but also the registration endpoint where the channel is injected from the client app. So any questions while we wait for this to spin up? Did anyone notice with the MPNS we didn't need any OAuth tokens or anything like that? So one of the key differences that we've got here is that with MPNS, you don't need to authenticate against it to send a notification. It's a different service than WNS, but that's one of the key things that you need to remember. So our compute emulator is starting up here. Let's launch our phone app while we wait for it. And it should be up any second now. Here it comes. Stock it over on the right. Now, when we put in that last management UI, NuGet, it installed this notifications endpoint. And this is where we go and send our notifications from. It also installed endpoints. And that's our registration point. So when we click enable push notifications here now, what's happening is this is requesting a channel from MPNS this time. It's pushing it up to this endpoint. So that's been successfully registered now. And now we can go to the notifications portion of this and send a notification out to this device. So this one's phone app 20. So I've got a few other channels here from yesterday. If I hit send notification, we can send a quick raw notification. And you'll see over here on the left that we've got the raw notification. Now that's because it's running in the foreground. If we were to send a raw notification now, it would not be received. But let's look at tile and toast. So if I want to send a tile notification, we'll say this is the front. We'll send one down, and we'll choose an image like this. And then we'll do a back. And we'll send a background tile that's different. Hit send. So that should come down in a second. So there's the front. And while we wait for that to flip, let's send a toast notification so you can see the last one, and we'll close out. And again, what we talked about with toast notifications in WinPhone 7, the target page parameter here is that piece where you can inject something back into your application. So when someone clicks on the toast, it can actually inject that into a page with a query string parameter. Because I haven't wired up another page, we won't do that. But there's the toast. So it doesn't look like this guy's flipping for me. But irrespective of that, that's the three different notification types that you've got in Windows Phone 7. So let's close this out quickly. So one point that I'd like you to take away with you is that Windows Azure is going to provide you the resources that you need to scale your application as your app grows. Now, as a demonstration of that, I'd like to sort of highlight this. So this is from the build blog, and essentially this is for a Windows 8 application that shipped in the developer preview bits. It's the weather application. And you can see here, after just 4 weeks, that had over just under 900,000 distinct tiles pinned. So if you consider that you're building out a service that needs to deliver notifications to this, you're not working with, you know, a small 1,000 users user base. Windows 8 is giving you the opportunity to target essentially anyone in the world as far as your application is concerned. So you need to consider at day one when you're building these things that at some point you may need to scale. If your app becomes a popular one, you're going to have to deal with these huge volumes. And this is just an example of that after 4 weeks. So again, make sure you're building your services such that they'll scale when you need them to. You don't want to, or you should probably try to avoid building something that's not going to scale, because if you get a peak of users, it becomes popular overnight, you want to be able to service that demand. You don't want people not being able to be serviced by your app and then just abandoning your application. It's a lost opportunity. So in summary, we looked at some of the Windows Azure core services. We looked at the compute and storage. Specifically, we looked at the web role, and that was the point where we had a registration endpoint and our MVC UIs to send notifications. If you're building out an enterprise service, you probably won't be using that MVC UI. You'll be using a worker role, which is quite similar to a Windows service in terms of its implementation. It's got an on start, it's got a stop and a run. And that's where you would pull down that WNS recipe or MPNS recipe and implement the business logic that you want to send notifications to those channels. We looked at storage, table storage as a means to store our channel URIs, and blob storage. And services to help you scale. So when you do start hitting that large user base, we've got some services there that Azure provides. Obviously, it elastically scales, so you can scale up and down as demand needs it. There's an enterprise application block for you from Patterns and Practices called the Automatic Scaling Application Block. And that one you can actually put into your application so it will scale up and down for you. We've got a CDN for distributing content from your blob storage. So if you're building a media-based application that has streaming video or such, you can easily, just with a checkbox, enable CDN on top of your blob storage. So it pushes that content out to, you know, the edge nodes around the world. At present, we've got 24 of them. We've got Traffic Manager, so if you want geo-load balancing of hosted services, perhaps your application is going to be released in marketplaces, perhaps not just Europe, but you may want to release it in US and such. So Traffic Manager provides a means for users to be routed to a deployment that's closest to them. We've also got the Windows Azure caching service. So that's a distributed in-memory cache. If you want to grab data off disk, being table storage or SQL Azure, you'd use it for your sort of lookups. Say if you're doing a products type application, you'd cache your products in there, and you're just going to get a much lower latency in terms of turning around that data. So, in summary, three key steps to remember. Request a channel. This applies to both WNS and MPNS. Register it with your cloud service. Authenticate and push. The authentication piece is only required for WNS, as we discussed. Key takeaways. The Windows push notification recipe is going to help you add push notifications to your service without having to build HTTP requests. We've got toolkits, the Windows Azure toolkit for Windows 8 and Windows Phone 7. and Azure will help you scale as your app grows. So with that, thank you for coming. Any questions? It's got to be one. Come on. No? Okay. Well, if anyone has any questions, come down and I'll be here after. Thank you.